Hi, this is Derek Miller, President and CEO of the Salt Lake Chamber and Downtown Alliance. Welcome to the CEO Success Stories podcast, where we sit down with some of the top leaders from across the state to hear from them about their leadership philosophy, their best practices, and lessons learned. As always, if you have ideas or thoughts about whom we can interview for the next podcast, send us an email at info@slchamber.com, and you can always message us on social media to our handle at Salt Lake Chamber. Today, we're pleased to be joined with Linda Wardell, the General Manager of City Creek Center. Linda has more than 30 years of experience managing and marketing shopping centers. Linda oversees retail operations for this landmark shopping and dining destination in the heart of Salt Lake City. She's also the chair of the Salt Lake Chamber and heavily involved in the community, serving on the current board of the Downtown Alliance, the Executive Committee for the Women's Leadership Institute, Zions Bake Advisory Board, and the Business Advisory Board for Westminster College. Linda, it's great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Derek. It's great to be here with you today.
And always wonderful to be here on site in City Creek.
That's right.
A hive of activity.
That's right. We're thrilled to have you here today as well.
You have been involved with City Creek from the very start. In fact, it's what brought you to Utah. Tell us about your background and what you were doing before you got to Utah, and then how you've enjoyed your time here over the past several years.
Well, thank you for asking. You know, I really do consider Utah to be my home now. I've been here for a little over 9 years, and I really can't imagine living anywhere else or working anywhere else. So my career has been an interesting time for me. It's been a fun journey. I started working at a boutique advertising agency in Atlanta, and my largest career was Taubman, who is my current employer today. I think that just underscores the importance of relationships in business. I had a very strong relationship with the Taubman company, but I took a little different journey and went to work for another developer where I had a sort of a long stay. I worked for them for about 10 years. And there were some changes there in management. We had a change in CEO, and a different regime came into the company. And I saw that sort of as a sign. I just thought that it was time for me to make a change and go to work for the very best company in our industry, and I knew that was Taubman. And so I gave my current boss a call and said, you know, I'm ready to make a change. I'm ready to come to work for the best player in the industry. And I went up and interviewed with them. They didn't have a job for me, but they hired me anyway. And now I've been with the company for 12 and a half years.
City Creek is such a gem for our city. I bet we could spend our entire time on this podcast talking about different stories, experiences, surprises. It's a never-changing industry. I'm sure you're on a daily basis thinking about what's next and what is changing. Just this weekend, my wife and I, who live close to downtown, just behind the Capitol, came down to City Creek to do a little shopping and to have dinner and to sit out by the fountain and enjoy a beautiful evening. And it was just impressed upon us what a great place this is for our city. Tell us how you stay ahead of the curve to make it such an attractive place for people. Really a destination for people to want to come to.
Well, thank you for all the kind things that you said there. You know, that certainly has been our mission from the start. I think there were a lot of people who had a vision for what City Creek was going to be for downtown. And when I speak about City Creek, I mean the development as a whole, not just the retail center. But, you know, I really do think that City Creek has in many ways been a catalyst for downtown and a catalyst for so many things that have happened here. And I know in the retail center, we are constantly working to make sure that the retail center is evolving and changing in ways that the retail world is evolving and changing. And of course, retail is undergoing right now what a lot of people call a rapid cycle of innovation mm-hmm. or disruption. We like to think of it as transformation, which seems a little more positive. But it's certainly fun to keep up with all of the great things that are going on now. You know, a lot of retailers are thinking about artificial intelligence or 5G or changes in transportation. I think all of those things will come into play over the next several years. in our business. But for right now, we're really busy keeping up with all the new kinds of retailers that are coming out. There certainly are new and different forms of retail that you see here. Brands like Bonobos, who you know, are primarily online, who is the largest online menswear brand, who is now in a brick and mortar store at City Creek Center. Kendra Scott, who is one of the unicorn billionaire brands, who previously was primarily online, also in a brick and mortar store at City Creek Center. And so, you know, you see more and more of those kinds of sort of online phenoms becoming brick and mortar brands. Fabletics would be another one, Athleta. You know, I could go on and on about different types of retail that will be emerging over the next several years. But then we have other things going on too, which are very exciting. One of our commitments to this project has been that we would always try to bring firsts to City Creek Center, brands that you can't find anywhere else in Utah, that we would try to have them here. And indeed we do. About a third of our stores are unique to market. And we're constantly trying to increase that number. And we've got two very exciting things that we'll be announcing later this year. I can't share them with you today.
I'm sorry about that. You're not going to scoop yourself on the Chamber podcast, huh?
I'm sorry, we can't do that today. But we do have two big things that we've been working on for almost a decade that will be coming to fruition this year. And of course, that is just very exciting for all of us.
That is. You use the word vision, and any kind of project like this or anything meaningful really in life does take vision. The other elements in that recipe are hard work and leadership. Tell us a little bit about your leadership style, your philosophy, and has it evolved over time?
Well, I think it has evolved over time. I think the best way to know about my leadership style would really to ask the awesome team that's here at City Creek. They would know more about it, certainly, I think, than I do. But I think my best answer to that question would be to say that I have a collaborative leadership style. I believe that you know, the way that we succeed is that we are all better working together. And I think what I've learned over time is that I'm not afraid to hire people that are much, much smarter than I am. And there are certainly some people on our team who are, you know, absolutely at the tops of their games in their fields of expertise on our team. And I have the utmost respect for them. And, you know, I think what I bring to the table for them is that I'm able to help them harness their horsepower and, you know, make the most of their incredible skills that they have and bring them to, you know, a whole new level. And that's really what makes our team great every day, is that we do have so many people who are incredibly talented here who are making, you know, this development everything that it can be.
Your leadership is not only applied to the City Creek Center, but also in our community. I mentioned in the intro the different organizations and efforts, initiatives that you're involved in. That's obviously something important to you personally. And speaking of on a personal note, I'm grateful that you are the incoming chair of the Salt Lake Chamber. In fact, not just incoming anymore, we're into July, so you are the chair. And one of the things that you have selected as a focus and emphasis for the coming year is diversity and inclusion. Tell our listeners why you selected that, why it's important to you, and what do you plan to do over the coming year?
Well, thank you for that. It's my great privilege to be the chair for the Salt Lake Chamber, and it certainly is a privilege to you know, have the ability to be able to speak more about diversity and inclusion, which is incredibly important to me. I think all the research has shown that businesses that are more involved with diversity and inclusion are more successful. And so I think it's easy to connect those dots and know that if you have more different perspectives around the table, that you're going to have more different types of thoughts included in your decisions, and you're going to make better decisions. So I think it's just a no-brainer for businesses to become involved in diversity and inclusion. I think sometimes there's a tendency for people to think that diversity and inclusion is political in some way. And I think when you look at it from the perspective that you're just trying to include different types of thought in your decision making, that there's nothing political about it at all. And so I'm very excited to have the opportunity to work with people when they're thinking about diversity and inclusion. I also have probably a real soft spot for working on the gender wage gap. And I love the story that you tell about the gender wage gap, you know, when you were first reading about that. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about that.
I'm guessing that you're talking about the story that I told at the press conference just about a year ago when we rolled out our best practices guide. And I had been preparing for the press conference, of course, reading through the guide again and just making sure it was all clear in my mind. And I got to the part where it talked about how important it is that men and women start their careers on equal footing, specifically as it relates to pay. And that one of the challenges that the study shows in that regard is that men are more likely to negotiate their starting salary than women are. And I just happened to be reviewing this over breakfast and sitting at the breakfast table with my wife, Laura, and I said, sort of out loud, not to anyone in particular, I just said, this is really surprising. This study shows that men are more likely to negotiate their starting salary than women are. And my wife said, wait, you can do that? And, you know, and she's a professional woman.
Absolutely, and very smart.
And you know, so it wasn't out of ignorance, it was just out of, I guess, lack of experience or bearing out what the study showed, that here I was surprised that women aren't negotiating their starting salaries, and here she was surprised that you could.
Exactly. And I think bringing awareness to the gender wage gap, I think one of the things that we need to do in Utah is help men understand that, you know, speaking about the gender wage gap is in no way threatening to them. Men are, in fact, the very best advocates that we have for women and helping them advance in the gender wage gap. We need men to be our allies here. But what we need to do is look at how pay is being applied in our organizations. There are so many steps that we can take that would make this process so simple and so effective. And the guide for the gender wage gap is available on the Chamber's website. It's available on the Women's Leadership Institute's website. And this is something that we can solve in our community. We are currently 50th. We're dead last in the United States when it comes to the gender wage gap. And I believe that we don't have to be last.
I agree with you. And I hate the fact that Utah is last in anything, but particularly in this. But I also agree with you that the good news is we can solve it.
Exactly.
You and I working together with the Chamber and the Chamber Network and the members of the Chamber, and ultimately business leaders, because you and I have spoken about this in the past, and I think we still agree that we don't have leaders of businesses that are waking up in the morning thinking, what am I going to do to ensure that the women are paid less than the men in my organization? Nevertheless, we know that it happens. And the good news in that is that we have the power to solve it.
And there are so many great programs going on in our community to support women in the gender wage gap and to support diversity and inclusion. Every time I talk to a business leader, I hear about some new program that they've started in their organization. And I think building a general overall awareness about all these great things that are going on will certainly help all of the businesses in our community.
Well, I'm excited to see under your leadership what we're able to accomplish this coming year in the business community, especially on this issue of the gender wage gap and diversity and inclusion. I'm also excited to ask you these last three questions. These are the three questions that we ask each one of the leaders that we interview. And the first question is this: what is your favorite leadership book? That may be a biography of a leader that you admire, or it may be a management, even a philosophy book, but what is your favorite?
My favorite book is The Gifts of Imperfection. It's by Brené Brown.
Okay.
And for those of us who are raging perfectionists, as I find many women to be, I think it helps you develop a plan to manage that tendency to be a perfectionist. One of my favorite lines in that book is, comparison is the thief of happiness. Mm. So it's a really great read.
Give us the name of the book and the author again.
The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown.
Great. Question number two: what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Well, I've been given an awful lot of advice in my life, so this is a really hard question for me. But I grew up with a dad who was a military man. He had a very successful military career, and so he was always encouraging me in areas of integrity and character. And I maybe didn't appreciate that as much in my younger life as I have come to appreciate that in my older days. But I think maybe one of the best things that he ingrained in me early on was to keep my commitments and to never quit. And I think that's probably the best advice I've ever received.
That is great advice. Last question. Along the same line of advice, what advice would you give our listeners or CEOs and general managers and leaders of organizations, but they're also people who are just starting their careers? So what advice would you give to them as they look to become a leader in their field?
I've been very fortunate in that I chose to do something that I love to do. What I do takes a high level of commitment, and I think that's very true for anyone in the work world today. You know, I think with sort of the merging of our work lives and our personal lives, more of a time commitment, more of a mental commitment is required. And so I would encourage anyone who is working today to really choose something that they love, because you're going to do it for a long time. And if you have to work, then you might as well love what you do. If you don't love what you're doing, then find something that you love to do, because you'll do it for a long time.
Great advice. Linda, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Derek.
Once again, if you have any thoughts or ideas about whom we should interview for the next podcast, send us an email at info@slchamber.com or message us on social media to our handle @SaltLakeChamber.